Test, I think I'm on. So we're going to start in a few seconds because people still come in. Okay, let's go ahead. My name is Mihai. Welcome to my session about auto-scalability and building elastic solutions with Windows Azure. I know my session is right before lunch, so I promise I won't keep you too much after 75 minutes. You don't have to be afraid of missing lunch. So as I said, during the next 75 minutes, I'm going to talk to you about how to scale automatically with Windows Azure. This is a 400-level session for mainly for developers or for guys, girls who are part of system operations or support teams with Windows Azure. So if you're not part of any of those groups, then this session is probably not the best for you at this time slot. If you decide to stay, then you have been warned. This is for you then. As I said, my name is Mihai. I am a Microsoft MVP on Windows Azure, which gives me the opportunity to talk to the product team. I understand very well what they do, and I also see their roadmap, their forthcoming releases, the new features they're going to release. I'm very close, in close contact with those guys. I own my own software company, which I started almost 7 years ago. We do custom software development, and we do training for software companies. And during the past 3 years or so, I and my team have been working a lot with Windows Azure, especially with how to scale automatically. This was actually one of my most interesting topics in the last few months, and still is. Just before going into the agenda, I just want you to help me understanding the audience better. So please raise your hand if you have no experience at all with Windows Azure. Okay, 4 or 5 people. I'm going to tell something interesting for you too, so don't worry. Please raise your hand if you're a developer. And please raise your hand if you're a sysadmin or an IT pro. Okay, so this is the expected audience distribution. This session is then for you. Now, during the next hour and something, I'm going to cover two main areas. The first one is to better explain the difference between scalability and elasticity. There are two different words. They mean two different things. So one is scalability, one is elasticity. We're going to explain that in a few minutes. The second part of my session, actually the biggest part of my session, is going to focus on one of the main ways you can achieve elasticity today. It's called auto-scaling application block. It's not the only way. I'm going to very shortly introduce you all the ways, or most of the ways, you can use today to achieve elasticity. But in my personal opinion, this is the best way you can do something like that. So auto-scaling application block is actually the biggest part of the session. And we're going to have very many demos with this library in the second part of my presentation. Now, since most of you have some experience with Windows Azure, we already know that Windows Azure is a scalable platform, right? I mean, we can agree on that. Just think about how it was 5 or 10 or 15 years ago when you needed to create new servers to be able to serve the load of your website. Just to provision a new server with identical configuration of the ones you already use was a very, very big task, a headache. It could last for a few hours or even a few days. Not always the hardware suppliers had their servers on stock waiting for you to buy them. And nowadays, with Windows Azure, we can scale, we can create a new instance in 10 minutes, approximately. So, and the fun part is, if we need to scale with 10 instances, it's going to take 10 minutes also. So we already know that. Windows Azure is very scalable. The better part, actually, is that we are flexible in pricing. We have a flexible pricing model, which means that we pay almost exactly what we use. And if you remember, maybe you've seen the keynote from the North America TechEd. Scott Guthrie then announced that the pricing model has changed. It's a better model now, actually. And we are being charged per minute, on per minute basis. Did you know about this? Okay, so if you didn't, if you have a web role, a cloud service running in Windows Azure, and you have At 12:58, you create a new instance. Up to 2 weeks ago, you would have been charged for the entire hour from 12 to 1. Now you're being charged only for the 2 minutes. This is a very interesting thing Microsoft did for us, and it blends actually very well with elasticity, with what I'm going to talk to you today. Now, as I said, Azure is scalable. We have a flexible price model, but it's not perfect yet. Why it's not perfect? Because nowadays, you have to scale manually. You have to take your own decision if you want to scale up or down, and you need to execute it. Now, don't get me wrong, I wouldn't like Microsoft to take this decision for me. For example, let's say I have six machines serving my website, and Microsoft decides that I need two more. I wouldn't like that. So that's why they're not doing it, because it would have a big impact on my costs. So I'm supposed to take the decision to scale up or down. I would like very much to be able to automate this, though. And this is not quite perfect yet, but it's getting there. We are beginning to be flexible enough. And actually, this is my personal definition of flexibility, of elasticity. Be able to scale, but not just manually, but also automatically. And before doing that, I'm just going to very briefly show you what manual scaling means, right here. And as you can see over there, I have a cloud service, a web role with a few, with two web roles, each one of them using one machine. This is manual scaling right now. You go into the portal and you select a different number of machines. Okay, I'm going to discard it. I don't want to increase my costs as early. So this is manual scaling. What I'm trying to achieve is to be able to automate this. And there are a few options today. Eventually, all the options will use the service management API. Do you know about the service management API? Did you hear about it? Excellent. If you didn't, this is the first time you hear it. It's a set of web services, an REST web services, set of services, which are being used by the portal itself and exposed to us, so we can also use them from our own tools. So coming back to how we can scale automatically, we can write our own piece of code. This is, in my opinion, the worst possible decision we could take, because it would literally mean reinventing the wheel. We would do, again, something which was already done by somebody else and very well tested, maybe. So we have a lot of risks when writing our own code, but still we can do it. A better option would be to use PowerShell. I'm sure you're familiar with PowerShell. There are the so-called Windows Azure commandlets, an extension to PowerShell with a lot of commands you can use. And these commands will target the service management API. And we already have those commands written for us. We just need to write some scripts to use them, to blend them together, actually. And then we can have somehow automate scaling. And if you think about it, this is a pretty good option, because those PowerShell scripts can be further integrated into your cruise control system. If you maybe you can set them as a process, a post-build process in your ALM set of processes. So this is already good enough. There are third-party tools. There are companies out there. One of them has this product in Windows Azure Store already. It's called Metrics Hub. I haven't had the chance to use it so far, so that's why I'm not presenting it. But it should be useful. I don't know. So third-party tools should be an option. And my best option, in my personal opinion, would still be autoscaling application block, because it's the most flexible option for you to achieve elasticity. And we're going to do a lot of demos, and you're going to believe me after 50 minutes from now. Before going to autoscaling application block, I just want to briefly show you how we can scale up and down, or just one of them, with PowerShell commands. So right here, I have this script. It's a very simple script. I hope you can see it well. I'm going to zoom it so you can see it better. Just some tracing over here, then set Azure deployment. This is a part of the commandlets, the Windows Azure commandlets I told you about before. And this command will do nothing but change the configuration of an existing cloud service in staging, and it will take this configuration from a file on my system. Now, I can manually edit that configuration file, changing the number of instances, for example, then run this script, and it will scale for me. This is what we're going to do. Going back to the portal, we see here that this web role has one instance. And there's another web role with one instance, too. Now, going to the config file, which is over here, I'm going to zoom, don't worry. There's this instance count equals one. So right now, the configuration is set for one instance. I'm going to change it to two. Okay. Save the config file. And then I'm going to run this script. It's a small set of fonts, but you can still see it. It's doing something. And in between, I can search for Fiddler. So you can see, maybe we will be able to see the calls to the service. It will take some time, but nevertheless, it's going to be there. Oh, yeah. There are some posts to the service to the Azure services, as you can see. I'm going to close this one because it's just using memory. Actually, it crashed. I think it crashed because of Fiddler. No, it crashed afterwards, so it's done its job. We are transitioning. We're creating a new instance right now. So we're going to wait for it just a few seconds to appear. It's not going to be ready in a few seconds, but we're going to see the transition. Yeah, there it is. So we have two instances in our web role. I'm going back to the config file, and so I will change this configuration back to one. And further on, I'm going to start this this script again. So this is a very basic thing you can do with PowerShell. Just automate scalability up or down. I'm not going to execute it now to scale down because I'm going to hurt it. I'm going to do it a bit later. Okay. So this was very briefly scaling with PowerShell. Now let's talk about the main session, the main section of my session, which is called auto scaling application block. How many of you have heard about auto scaling application block? Okay. 10 people approximately. First of all, this is part of the Enterprise Library Integration Pack for Windows Azure. This is the only bad part about it, that it has a very long name. Other than that, there are only good parts. So being part of the Enterprise Library extensions, actually, means that we can work with this block as we would work with any other block from Enterprise Library, the same kind of configuration, the same kind of tooling. We, for example, in order to work with it, we have to add it from NuGet into our Visual Studio project, and then to edit the config file using a tool. We're going to see that in a minute. This block is only designed for elasticity, to automate scaling with Windows Azure, and it's obvious already. It has been designed by the Microsoft Patterns and Practices team. There are a lot of information. There's a lot of information about this block over the internet. And actually, at the end of my session, you're going to see the resources slide. So you can go ahead back home when you have time to try to configure some of these functionality. Now, because we are geeks and we are technical persons, we always tend to use the newest, coolest technology out there. But, you know, I'm also a business owner, so I talk to my guys that we also should have a business reason why we should use auto-scaling application block, for example. And the business reason behind auto-scaling application block is very simple. It will help us minimize the costs, the operational costs. So right now I'm not talking about development costs. That's one thing, we cannot help that. I'm only talking about the operational costs. And let's see how. First of all, it will reduce the manual work. If we don't automate scaling, if you're not elastic, then you have to do it manually. Now, can you imagine having a person scaling up and scaling down and scaling up and scaling down depending on some conditions? Let's say you have to scale up or down 20 times a day. That means a dedicated resource only for that. So that's why once you are able to define your rules and the criteria of your autoscaler, then the manual work is reduced to almost zero. So big reduction here on the manual work. Then, of course, you reduce the risks to make mistakes because it's automated. You test it, you come to the final version, which you're satisfied with, and then you only use that. You won't have bugs, you won't have mistakes because you didn't think about, I don't know, which special case, which would be the situation when you'd write your own piece of code targeting the service management API directly. You would reduce this risk with AAB. And then pay exactly what you need. As you can see on the slide, I bolded the word exactly. It's not exactly in terms of, you know, arithmetics. It's not 100% exactly, but it's close to perfection. It's closer, actually, after the announcement Microsoft has made with the per-minute pricing model. Right now, I've seen situations, scenarios in our work when you need to scale 5 or 6 times a day. And before 2 weeks ago, it was very important for us when we decided to scale. I mean, the exact moment when we decided to scale. And we had to make sure that we are not using an extra hour for nothing. Okay, I mean, if we started scaling at 12:58, that would be an extra hour every time you scale. Now you don't have that problem because you have per minute costs, and you just need to implement your rules without very, very big attention on this aspect. Okay. Before they implemented the auto-scaling application block, the Microsoft Practice and Practices guys understood there are a few scenarios when you need to scale a Windows Azure or a cloud solution in general, not only Windows Azure, but here we're talking about Windows Azure. The first of all, which is the most obvious, is predictable load patterns. You have an application, let's say a business application, used by your own company, which needs to run during the business hours. And during the nights, maybe it needs to run, but there's nobody using it. So you can implement a rule like having 6 instances, 6 virtual machines serving my cloud service, my web role, during the daytime, from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., and only 2 instances in the rest of the time. It's very easy for you to implement a scenario like this with auto-scaling application block. Being the most obvious one, actually, it's also the most used one. But what about public applications? Web apps which face the public, which have anybody as a user. You cannot have a predictable load patterns. Actually, think about an online shop. They can predict Christmas. They can predict Black Friday. So there are obvious moments in a year which they can predict. But they cannot predict very accurately the difference, the variation of load during the day, during a normal day, let's say, or during a week. It's very hard to do that. It's very hard to achieve that. So in this specific scenario, which actually covers a lot of situations, you cannot implement a predictable load pattern. Instead, you have to react to something, react to usage variations. And there are a lot of options for us to monitor the usage variations, and based on some constraints, on some specific rules that we define, our autoscaler will be able to react. Now, talking about possible reactions, there are at least two. The two most obvious are, first of all, of course, instance scaling. I mean, if you need to scale, it's obviously that the first thing you can do is add a new instance, or a few instances, depending on how many you need. Up or down, you can very easily add or remove instances. The not-so-obvious reaction to usage variations is throttling. Now, if you're very familiar with Windows Azure in general and you've heard of throttling, this is not the throttling you have heard about. You have heard about the Windows Azure services throttling, like SQL Azure or Azure Storage throttling. This is a different topic, and it's just the same word being used in two different situations. It's correct from the grammatical perspective, from the language perspective, but it's a bit misleading. It was for me also in the beginning. In this scenario, throttling refers to our ability to cut some features of our application. I mean, the scenario would be like this. We have already reached the maximum of our budget. We are not allowed to spend more. But we have more users. We have this option, which could be a good compromise, to cut some of the features. So every public user is very happy. They can use the application, which performs very well for them. But we will make the back-end users, our own employees, unhappy, let's say. So it might be a good compromise when you have very fixed budgets, you cannot go over them, just to cut some features temporarily, of course. It won't be cut. They won't be cut for months. They will be cut for hours or for days, something like that. It was a very good surprise for me, actually. If you think about it, it's not that hard to implement something like that, but it's very, very dramatic. I mean, it's going to be for us very easily with autoscaling application block to do something like that. Just in a few minutes, cut some features, then when the load goes away, the users go back home, we can bring the features back. Now, a few words about the autoscaling application block. Here's our app in the diagram. The instance is serving our web role. We have to implement some custom performance counters or something to be monitored. We're going to use Windows Azure Diagnostics to monitor something related to our instances, and we're going to store them in Windows Azure Storage. It's a special table called VAD Performance Counters Table, for example, one of the options, where we can store performance counters related to those machines. I'll give you just an example for now. You can very easily count measure the average response time or the number of requests in the IIS queue for those machines. You monitor those and you store them in Windows Storage. Now, separately, you have the autoscaling application block, which is a different application. This is the most important thing here. You have to write your own application using autoscaling application block. But don't get me wrong, it's extremely easy. It's 5 lines of code. But it just has to be a separate process. This separate application will constantly monitor the Windows Azure Storage. It will query it and see if there are some variations on the performance counters you have monitored so far. And if a certain rule is met, then it will trigger an action on your role instances. This is basically how it works. And to go deeper into explaining the resources involved, what we need to use to actually have autoscaling application block work for us, we have one so-called monitor application, which we have to develop based on autoscaling application block. This can be hosted both in Windows Azure or on premises. I mean, it's not illegal to store it on premises, but it's going to be a headache for us because that machine hosting our monitor will also have to be monitored so it won't fail, right? So the best option would be to host this application in a worker process in Azure. Then we will have to define some XML files. It's a lot of XML files. It's very easy for you to make mistakes, but most of the mistakes are already reconciliated by their own algorithm. So if you have conflicting rules, they are able to automatically choose one. We're going to see that at the end. Then you need diagnostics in your web role, in your target application. And you need table storage for storing those logs. OK, so it's the time for us to have the first demo with autoscaling application block. Wrong click. Which is right here. I'm going to zoom it. I have the cloud project. I have a web role. This is the target, actually. I have the monitor. This is a console app. Very easy. This is the monitor. And actually, I have a second web role, which is target number two. I'm only going to need it in the end. We're not going to use this the second web role for the first demos. Very simple configuration. Now, inside my monitor, which is here, I have the rules XML file, a services XML file, and the app config. Three XML files I need to configure. And we're going to deep dive into them after our first demo. Because I need to buy some time, because it takes a few minutes for it to react, I'm going to check if one of the rules I need is enabled, which it is. I'm going to start it, and then I'm going to explain what we need to, what we're supposed to see here. So I have the autoscaler running here. We're going to have a lot of traces in the output window once it starts evaluating the rules. And what I'm trying to achieve with this demo is to delete one of the machines here. I'm going to scale down. Now, the logic, the rules have this, this logic that whenever I have less than 5 messages in an Azure queue, as you can see here, approximate message count is 4. By the way, do you have experience with Windows Azure queues and tables? Then you know why there says approximately. Because when you delete a queue, a message in the queue, or you put a message in the queue, it's not going to be instantly there. That's why it says approximately. So I have 4 messages in the queue. I can remove. I just want to make sure that I have less than 5. So my autoscaler should kick in and scale down. It's too early for it. It's evaluating the rules. It has a few thresholds set, not to evaluate those rules every second. So that's why it needs a few minutes for it to really kick in and see the first rule being hit. So there were rules being evaluated, which is okay. And then we're going to need, I think the first one is going to scale down. Let's see. I said you have to write your own app. This is the entire app you have to write. This is it, right? Maybe with some try-catch logic over there. This is the entire app you have to write. Now, the autoscaler seemed to... not yet. There are still 2 instances running. It's OK. I have a few thresholds. One of them is the rules are evaluated every minute. Then those rules are making an aggregate on some performance counters in a table, or in this case, a queue length, every 5 minutes. And then I have a stabilizer, which prevents me from submitting scaling requests, which right now is set to 1 minute also. So that's why I need a few minutes to scale. Should be there in a second. Let's see. Yeah, the rule was evaluated. Yeah, so here we are. Some scaling requests are about to be submitted. This is the log I was looking for. And the second one was is were submitted. Now I'm going to scroll here and show you this value. Absolute delta, this is just a log, which says that I'm going to increase by minus one. I'm going to decrease, actually, the web role. So going back to the portal, we can see that it's already transitioning and it's going to delete one of the instances being used by auto-scaling application role. Let's just see it starting doing it, and then we're going to move on to the next part of my session. At the end of the session, I'm going to invite you here to see if there's somebody under my desktop doing this. Just believe me, it's the monitor who's doing it automatically. There's nobody deleting or adding instances in Windows Azure. Well, that person can be in another room, I know. So it's going to delete one of the instances. I'm going to move away from this demo and go back to the slides. We're going to see them in the next demo. I have to better explain how this autoscaler works and what we need to configure in order for it to be perfect. We have to define a few things. One of them is the XML file, which contains the rules. And there are a few rules about the rules. One of them is you must have, for every role you're targeting, you must have at least one constraint rule. And this is actually one of the tips and tricks I always tell the audience in this session, that you should always have a constraint rule which gives us a minimum and a maximum number of instances. Whatever the rules are, whatever happens with scaling, we should make sure that we never cross certain borders, neither up or down. In my own demo, I have a minimum one instance and maximum four instances. In real world, in production, you should have minimum two instances because of the failover and the SLA to be active. So, as I said before, there are two types of rules. One of them is constraint rules, and the other one is called reactive rules. The second one is the type of rule which reacts to variations on our performance counters. And then we can scale or we can throttle. We're going to see that in a minute. The second XML file is called the service information file. It's a very simple file you need to use. Actually, you need to enter your Windows Azure information. The information about your service, your cloud service, your web role, your storage account, your certificate from your machine, which is going to be used to target the service management API, and so on and so forth. And then you have the app config file of your application, where you have to make some configurations related to AAB, to auto-scaling application block. Now, let's go back to Visual Studio. In between, as you can see, the second instance has been deleted. Now, going back to Visual Studio, I can close this for now, the autoscaler, and I'm going to bring my demo notes here because it's going to be a lot of information. Now, let's go ahead and look at our rules XML file first. I'm going to zoom it a bit, and I'm going to focus on the first rule. As you can see over here, it has a range, minimum and maximum, and it has a rank. Ranks are used to differentiate between the rules. You might have conflicting rules. Then the smallest the value, the higher the rank, and the higher the priority of the rule. If I have two conflicting rules, one with rank 1 and one with rank 10, the first one is going to be taken into consideration. And there is a constraint. We should always have at least one constraint rule defining the minimum and the maximum. Then we have the so-called reactive rules. One of them over here is called scale up. It's just a name. It has a bigger number, so a smaller rank. And I'm sure you can understand what it does just by reading this XML file. It evaluates two operands, and whenever any of them meets a condition, the first one greater or equal than 10, the second one greater or equal than 65, it will scale this role by 1. It will add an instance. So if we just read it in plain English, whenever the CPU on the machines goes beyond 65%, or we have at least 10 messages in a queue, it's going to create a new instance. Now, a very good pattern and a very good recommendation, you should always have rules in pairs. Whenever you have a rule which scales up based on some conditions, based on the similar conditions but with the opposite conditions, you should scale down. So here's the opposite rule, which says, okay, scale down for the same operands, lower than 5 messages in the queue, lower than 40% of CPU, we should scale by -1 the same target. This is a very important recommendation. The XML schema doesn't force you to have something like that. It's just something you need to do. Unless you do it, you're just going to scale up forever until you reach the maximum. You're never going to scale down. And somebody in your company won't be happy. Going down to the operands, they are defined right here. So one of the operands is just the length of a queue. This is a queue in my storage account. I'm doing an aggregate on this value. Just for the demo purposes, I'm doing the last value aggregate, not to wait for 5 minutes to change the value. But you could have like an average for the last 20 minutes or 5 minutes, whatever you like. So in real life, this operand would look like aggregate average for the last 30 minutes. Not 5, 2.5 is too small. The other operand is based on a performance counter, which comes from VMI, Windows Management Instrumentation. So all the machines serving this web role, the auto-scaling application role, that's the name of the role, are being constantly monitored for this performance counter, CPU time. And then we make an aggregate for a certain time period and a certain type of aggregate. Again, it's last for the purpose of the demo. But you could have like the average CPU time for the last 30 minutes for those machines. Now, I have to show you what you have to do in your target app. So your target app is right here. Is this project in my solution. We have to enable diagnostics, and we have to write certain values to Azure Store, Azure Storage. So here is diagnostics enabled. Here it's going to be started, right? And here is the performance counter we're monitoring. So we take samples every 30 seconds from VMI on that machine, and we send those values every 2 minutes to Windows Azure Storage. So there's a certain table in Windows Azure Storage which has this information, and I'm going to show it to you. I'm going to open a very nice tool, useful. It can be found on CodePlex called Azure Storage Explorer. It's not perfect for large solutions, but it's good enough. And I'm going to filter for logs which have been put there, but for this deployment only. I don't care about other apps, so I'm going to filter. There are going to be a lot of information. There's going to be a lot of information, a lot of records, because I've been doing this demo for a few months now. But nevertheless, I just wanted to see that we have this table in Windows Storage, in Windows Azure Storage, which stores performance counters values. So these are the main artifacts you need to play around when you configure AAB. Now, it will take some time, I guess, for it to query. Right now, it's going to get 2,000 entities from Azure Storage. Let's see. The internet connection is very good, so it should be over in a second or two. Yeah, so a lot of information, a lot of entries, so many entries. And all of them are actually measuring this performance counter. Okay, now going back to my solution, I'm going to close this, I don't need it anymore. Another file you need to configure in your monitoring application is just the services XML file. I'm going to collapse some of the information I'm going to refer to later. Just basic info about your subscription, your certificate, your the name of the environment, the web role, and so on and so forth. If you're fast enough and you can copy it, then go ahead. I don't care. It's just a demo solution. It's not in production. So this is another thing you can you should configure. And one of the very interesting stuff I mentioned during the slides is the so-called stabilizer. Now, the stabilizer is here for us to prevent having a yo-yo effect, like scaling up, scaling down, scaling up, scaling down every minute. It would just mess up all the fabric controller infrastructure. In the end, it will mess up the performance of our app. So we don't want to scale up or down very often. The typical setting or the default setting for these values is 20 minutes. It can be higher than 20 minutes. I just put here 1 minute for the purpose of the demo. But you should have a stabilizer with, 30 minutes, 1 hour, just to make sure you don't scale too fast. And then just preventing your users from having a very good experience. The third XML file is this app config. You can edit manually, or you can use the tool called Enterprise Library Configuration. If you don't have it already, you can find it as an extension for Visual Studio. It's right here. You can search for it. I already have it installed. And I'm going to go through some of the settings of the autoscaler, because we need to understand at least some of them. So the most basic ones are the location of the rules XML file and the services XML file. Very basic information. I'm not going to bother you with that. But there is at least one which is very important. That's why I'm going to focus on it a bit. So there is one called execution lease. And let me expand it. Okay. This setting over here refers to the situation when we have the monitor installed in a worker role in Windows Azure. And as you already know, a worker role can be itself served by at least one or two instances. It can be served by more than one instance. So let's say it like that. Why would you do it? For failover reasons. So you want to make sure that whatever happens, your monitor is running. So you put your worker role being served by two instances, which is perfect. You have failover. But what happens when both monitors, actually there are two different processes running on two different machines, they monitor the same thing, the same app, the same performance counters of the same app. So they reach to the same conclusion almost simultaneously, but not quite, like a few milliseconds away from each other. And they will decide to scale up by two, each of them. What will happen to your infrastructure then? It's not where you want to be. So whenever you have the worker role being served by at least two instances, you should have an execution lease. It's just a flag in the blob, which it should be put to true. Whenever the first monitor encounters a rule and understands that it needs to submit some changes to the Windows Azure infrastructure, it will change that flag in the blob. And thus, you would make sure that nobody else will submit changes to the Azure infrastructure. Now, if you ask me, for me and for the solutions I've worked with, it's a good enough solution not to have the worker role being served by two instances. One instance is enough. I mean, what's the worst case scenario with your monitor? It's going to be down for 10, 12 minutes. It's just the monitoring app. And maybe that's not the worst case. The worst case scenario is when the whole data center is gone, but that's, I mean, then the application is gone. So we're not talking about that. We're just talking about your specific machine serving your worker process. If it's going to be down, it's going to be down for 10 minutes, approximately, right? And it's good enough for me. I mean, if the monitor is not there for 10 minutes, it's not that bad. So I wouldn't bother with that, but nevertheless, if you want to, please take into consideration the execution lease. I can go ahead and close it. Now I should show you another type of setting, another set of settings, of rules, I mean. And I'm going to uncomment these rules over here, and I'm going to comment the rules I've been using so far. So bear with me for a second. I just want to make sure I'm not confusing myself with too many rules. Okay, so anybody's commented? All of them? Yeah. I only have two rules over here, two active rules. And they are referring to a so-called normal activity situation. They both monitor the same operand, which is CPU time. And if the CPU, so the percentage of the CPU being used by our process is less than 50, we should switch a setting to a normal value. I'm going to zoom it again. So we should go back to normal, as opposed to going right here. When the CPU time is more than 50%, we should switch to high activity. So in this case, with both rules, our monitor is only going to change a setting of our web role, nothing else. And then we have our application, our web app, our target app. Of course, it's going to read this setting. So on the default page, on the first page of the app, actually, on this event, on pre-render complete, we read the throttling mode setting from the Azure configuration. And depending on its value, we're going to hide or show some of the buttons. We're going to cut some of the features out. This is actually the throttling I've been mentioning before. So whenever we have high activity, two buttons are going to be disabled. Or whenever we have another situation, those buttons are going to be enabled back. Now, you might ask yourselves, why would I change a setting in Windows Azure and not a setting in WebConfig of this app? Well, the reason for it is because this web role, this app, is going to be served by more machines, not just one. So we have multiple web configs. Each machine has its own web config. It's hard. It's not the place to have settings for the entire web role. The entire web role has a set of settings, right? We can see them right over here. Going to zoom again. So there is one called throttling mode. Its initial value is set to normal. And whenever things go beyond normal, so the CPU time goes beyond 50% in my case, this setting is going to be changed by the monitor, and then the application itself, the target app itself, monitors this value and is going to disable some of the buttons. Now, I'm going to start the monitor. I think I cleaned the solution, but I'm going to do it again. A lot of mistakes you can do by not cleaning the solution and just, you know, having the same rules XML file as before, without you knowing it. So I'm going to start it again, the monitor. And then I'm going to go back to the app and generate a high activity. Now, when I'm going to press this button, we're going to have the CPU of those machines at 100%. But before I do that, please notice there is no throttling active, which means these buttons are enabled. This is the current status. I can add or remove messages. I'm going to press this button, high utilization. Now, the app won't be very responsive because the CPU is going to go to 100%. There is a piece of code doing that in the app, and the real CPU is at 100%. And we're going to see this setting over here. I'm looking at it from the portal, so it's the setting of the live web role, right? Called throttling mode. Right now its value is normal, but since our monitor is monitoring the performance counters, eventually it will encounter the rule to scale up, to throttle and to change that setting. So it's going to take more than a minute, actually I think about 2 minutes, until this monitor will change that setting in Windows Azure, and then the application itself is going to throttle. By the way, if you have questions, you can ask them right now, because I have to wait for the demo to finish. Okay. Now, going back just for a second to our rules XML file. Yeah, I thought it's going to be. No, it's not. So going back to this file, I'm going to uncomment this section a bit later after this demo. I'm just going to anticipate some of it because we have some time. So the next demo is going to focus on, actually the last one, having two rules with the same rank, doing the same thing actually. They are both going to scale up the same web role, and they both have the same rank. The question would be, what happens then? And we're going to see that in a minute, because those guys have already reconciliated this situation. That's why I said before, it's very easy for you to make mistakes in this XML file, because the schema is not validating your business logic. It's only validating your, you know, to conform to the schema. But those mistakes are not that bad, eventually. Just to make sure that no, it's not changing yet. Let's see the app at 100%. It's very slow, as you can see. No throttling yet. And we should be able to see it at the next encounter. Whatever I do, yeah, go ahead, please. I'm going to repeat the question. So for costs purposes, it will be cheaper to actually have the autoscaler inside your web role. Why wouldn't you do it? Well, I see no technical reasons for that. I mean, you can do it, of course, but I would separate them because of the business logic and what they're supposed to do. This is a long-running process. It's not a web app. It is supposed to run constantly. For a web app, you need an active request for it to run this process. So that's why I wouldn't keep it in the web role. In the meantime, the role configuration changes have been submitted. And I'm going to refresh this page, because we're going to see, eventually, this configuration being changed. It's not instant, as you can imagine. Let's see. I said configure. You're not helping me today. Okay. So this setting has been changed. This has been done by the monitor. And now we're going to see our app being throttled immediately. Again, it's not instantly, but it's going to do it. I'm going to refresh the page just to make sure. Just a second. I have a question. I'm going to take it just immediately after we see throttling being activated. Now, because the CPU is at 100%, this app is performing very bad. That's why it needs time. As you can see, it's just a simple request, and it crashed. Because the CPU is at 100%, it might happen. OK, I'm going to take your question in the meantime. Tool. Yeah, the question was, can we edit those rules by using a tool other than Visual Studio? And my answer is no, not yet at least. You cannot do it. Now, the setting is right where it should be. The app is not responding, but it should in a minute. Okay, so I just want you to see the very nice throttling being already actually enabled. Now I'm thinking about alternatives, how to bring the CPU down. Oh, yeah. Good. It took some time, again, because the CPU is at 100%. So it cannot do literally anything, almost anything in between. So because that setting has been changed by the monitor, the app performs as we expected. Two buttons are disabled. We cannot use those functionality until we throttle back. Now I'm going to press on low utilization. It's going to leave the CPU behave normally. It's going to take some time. I could wait for the monitor to kick in with the second rule. I'm not going to do that because we're going to use a lot of time. Instead, I'm going to manually change this configuration. I think it's called normal. Let me go ahead to Visual Studio and see. Yeah. So I manually edited this configuration just to simulate the autoscaler. The autoscaler would have taken another 2 or 3 minutes to kick in. And now, after 1 or 2 minutes, we're going to see throttling being disabled again. This is what we wanted. This is what we expected. Okay. Yeah, as you can see, the buttons are back. We can add or remove messages. No throttling being active. Perfect. Going back to the slides. There are a lot of mistakes you can do in general, but talking about AAB. First of all, which is not so obvious, actually, is when you scale automatically while performing an update. So let's say your DevOps team is just releasing the new version of your app, version 2.0, and they don't close the autoscaler. They don't shut down the autoscaler. What happens when the autoscaler kicks in with a rule to scale up, let's say, you already have 4 instances, and you have the update going on. So it should be able to create 2 new instances, so having 6 in total. My question is, which version of your software will it use? Now, the good part is that it's guaranteed that it's going to use the new version. So you have an update going on. 1 instance is already updated to version 2. 3 instances still to version 1. Then the autoscaler kicks in, creates 2 new instances. Those new instances are going to have the second version of your app, which is perfect, and it's guaranteed. By the way, it works. I just talked, just to make sure, at Tech at North America, I talked to the product team, and they explained the whole process of updating, and it's guaranteed that that you have your latest version. The bad thing about it is that the update will take much longer, because you have your update process, then this process will be stopped by the autoscaler. It will go again through the whole process, which takes some time, and then this one is going to be ended, and then restart your initial update process. So the worst case scenario when you autoscale while updating is it's going to take a lot of time. It's not very bad, but again, it's bad enough. Another common mistake is forgetting to have limits or wrong limits with minimum and maximum. This is obvious. You want to have at least 2 instances and maximum, I don't know how many, depending on the budget. Another common mistake is not to have opposite rules. As I explained before, when you scale up by monitoring some operands, you should be able to scale down using the same operands with the opposite conditions. Another set of common mistakes, one of them is to host the monitor on premises. As I said before, you need to make sure the monitor is running. So somebody has to monitor the machine the monitor is running on. It's not a big mistake. So if you're sure that that server is being monitored by somebody, then there's no problem. No stabilizer, or very small values for the stabilizer. This is a very bad mistake, because in the end, you're going to have very high costs and very, very bad performance for your users. You're going to be nowhere, actually. And this is one of the funniest mistakes. I did it last night, preparing for the demo. So I had all the rules set, aligned perfectly. I should have scaled. I saw the logs in the monitor saying that the requests have been submitted, but nothing happened in the portal. That's because I already reached the maximum number of instances in my cloud service. As you know, I might be mistaken here, but as far as I know, by default, a cloud service has 20 instances, 20 cores, the upper limit. So equivalent would be you either have 20 small cores or you have 10 big, which is the next one? Medium, thank you. So the equivalent of 20 small cores is the upper limit of your cloud service. You can change it if you contact Microsoft support. But if you don't, this is the maximum. And whatever, if you call them or not, you're going to have a maximum number anyway. It's very easy to reach it. Actually, I'm using a demo subscription for this presentation, and the subscription has a total of six, so the maximum of six cores per subscription. So that's why it was very easy for me to reach this maximum. The not so good thing about this situation is that it's very hard for you to understand what's happening. I mean, the autoscaler is giving you the correct information, but not complete information. I mean, it did everything perfectly, but the portal didn't scale, and there's no way for you to find out. There's no log anywhere. You just have to figure it out. So the correct thing for me to say is that I assumed this was the problem. But no, I did some tests, and actually, it's one of the common mistakes you can do. Some of the questions I have got in my last encounters with this session, what if I want to scale or to monitor and autoscale multiple applications? It's very easy for us to do it. In the same monitor application, we create multiple instances of the autoscaler. The one I've showed you before has been configured by the app.config file. But you can configure it from the code. I mean, in the constructor of the class, just set the parameters. You have multiple instances in your monitor, and that's it. And a related question, what if I have my application, the same app, in two different data centers? It's the same thing. It's like having two different apps from the autoscaler perspective. Now, you could ask yourselves, or you could ask me, why would I have my application in two different data centers? Well, this is not related to autoscaling, but it's a good question, though. For failover purposes, I mean, Microsoft does a lot and very, very good stuff regarding failover, but what if the whole data center crashes? There have been thunderstorms, and data centers have crashed, both from Microsoft and from Amazon and from others. So it might happen once in a lifetime, once every 2 years, I don't know, but it might happen. So I've seen solutions with duplicating everything, all the data, all the apps, in two different data centers. Then you need to monitor them both. You just treat them as two different applications with two autoscaler instances. Now, a few very nice things, because we still have time. I wasn't sure if I had the time, but it seems I do. We can have the so-called scale groups. You can define the rules to scale to target a web role or a set of roles, which can be treated together as an atomic, you know, group for atomic operations. We're going to see that in a second. And then you have to understand what happens with the rule ranks and what if they have the same rank. Generally speaking, the smaller the value, the higher the rank, the higher the priority, as I said. But if I have two rules with the same rank, both saying that the same web role has to scale up, the one with the higher value is going to be taken into consideration. So one rule scales, one rule says scale up by one, the other rule says scale up by two is going to scale up by two. It's just a design decision they had to take to prevent chaos in our XML files. Good. So let's see. Scale groups, rules conciliations, and max cores, if you have the time. Scale groups. First of all, I have described one scale group here called all roles. And it contains all the roles of my cloud service. The very interesting setting over here, this one, is referring to the ratio applied to the scale action. So we have a rule which says, OK, scale this group by 1. That 1, that value 1, is going to be multiplied by this ratio. So you can define a web role which, which has a ratio with the value 2. And that means it's going to be always double as the other web role. Because I have limited the number of cores, I put one here in my first demo. If we have the time, I'm going to put much more than that, just to see that we reached our maximum cloud service cores. OK, so this is the scale group. I'm going back to the rules XML. Comment out these guys. I don't need them anymore. I'm going to uncomment. Yeah. Only used during the last demo. This should be it. No. This is true. This is the last demo, but not yet. Hey, where are you? Yes, this is the one I need. OK, so I only have one rule here, one reactive rule in my rules file. I'm going to clean the solution, rebuild it. So it says, it's basically saying that whenever I have more than 10 messages in the queue, I should scale up by one. I should scale by one all rows, so the whole group. Going back to the portal and seeing our current status, we have one each. I'm going to start the monitor because it's going to take 2 minutes or so to evaluate this. Going back to the app to add messages in the queue. So I have more than 10. Or at least 10, I don't remember exactly. I just want to be sure that this rule is going to be met. So yeah, I should be fine. In approximately 2 minutes, we're going to see everybody scaling up. I mean, both roles being scaled up by one instance. And in between, let me go ahead and explain the last part of this demo, which is over here. Yeah, this rule over here. So we're going to let the monitor do its job. And this is going to be my next demo. This rule called scale up, last demo, blah, 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 has the same rank as the other scale up rule. Now it's commented again, but there are going to be two rules with the same rank, both scaling the same role, one of them scaling by two, the other one scaling by one. And we're going to see that because they have to reconcile something, they have to take a decision, they're going to take this rule into consideration as opposed to this one over here, which is identical except for this factor. OK. Now, let's see if no configurations yet. Yeah, quick question, please. Platform as a service. So the question was, this talk has been about platform as a service, which is true. It didn't cover how to scale up or down infrastructure as a service, or maybe SQL Azure or other artifacts in our cloud environment. Well, talking about those artifacts because it's easier. So scaling up or down SQL Azure is not our problem. It's already being done by Microsoft. It scales automatically. Everything, SQL Azure, SQL Database is the correct name now, Windows Azure Storage, we don't have to take care about their scalability. It will be done automatically by Windows Azure. Talking about our own infrastructure as a service, well, it's much more complex. I mean, we use virtual machines in certain scenarios. I don't know. I mean, let's say maybe if you use, I can imagine a situation when you use infrastructure as a service. So you have, let's say, two virtual machines hosting the same website with a load balancer, a software load balancer on top of them, and you want to scale automatically. You cannot do this with auto-scaling application block or any other way with the Azure tools. You have to implement your own PowerShell scripts. On a virtual machine. Yeah. So the question was, I have a front end with a web role and a back end with the virtual machine running SQL Server. SQL Server on a virtual machine. You cannot achieve that automatically, I mean, without writing some code. Either you write PowerShell scripts to scale your backend, or you write your own code inside this monitor, but you have to write it manually, and to target the service management API. Now, in the meantime, as you can see, some scaling requests have been submitted. And as you can see, both roles scale by one. So we have defined our scale group, which includes both our web roles. They all scale by one instance. And because we don't have the time, I don't want to pass over 75 minutes, I'm not going to show you the last demo, but I'm just going to very briefly explain it. These two rules over here, which are identical, this one will be taken into the consideration because it has a higher value of scaling. We don't have the time to go into this right now. Okay, so the purpose of my talk was twofold. First, to understand the difference between scalability and elasticity. I hope I made myself clear. Elasticity is automatic scaling. And the second part was to understand what you can do and cannot do with auto-scaling application block. Thanks to some questions, we also understood what you cannot do with auto-scaling application block. In the end, the purpose is to pay exactly what you need, or at least closer to perfection than before. This is auto-scaling. I'm going to be here for questions afterwards. There are some related sessions I recommend. I totally recommend the first one, Windows Azure Internals by Mark Rusinovich. It's going to be today, actually. I don't remember the time, but just look it up. Mark Rusinovich today is going to be great. Some specific resources to this session. On my blog, which is right down below, you're going to see the demos I have used at Tech in North America. I have changed them a bit. I'm going to update them and put them on the blog in the next days. And a lot of information related to auto-scaling application block. Some general resources on Channel 9, TechNet, MSDN, which are great. Please complete the evaluation forms. It will help you have a chance to win an Xbox. It will help me to improve my session, and it will help the organizers either call me or not call me back again. So feedback is very important. Please take your time to help everybody, the organizers and the speaker. We want to know what we can improve. That being said, I'm here after my session for questions. Thank you for attending.